Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Before I share with you a message this morning, if you would bow your heads with me as I kneel. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath morning and for the opportunity to gather in your house, whether in person or virtually. And I pray that you will touch my mouth and touch our ears through your Holy Spirit, that the message heard will be clear, and the message spoken and the message heard will be the same and come straight from you. Thank you for the promise of your Spirit to lead us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a time of what I refer to as orchestrated confusion. It's at many levels, and it's generally with one purpose. We're familiar with the great controversy perspective, and Satan is working diligently to confuse. There are many who do not want the truth. The truth is getting harder and harder to find. Many don't want it, instead choosing to follow either their own narrative or someone else's. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, predicts that this will be the case. Reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, even him, referring to the wicked one, Satan, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. So we see here that if we do not receive a love of the truth, what is left? God does not send strong delusion to anyone. In our way of thinking, when we read this, it's like, well, God sent it. Now, sweet water and bitter water don't come out of the same spring. What this verse is referring to is if we do not receive the love of the truth, and where does that love come from? Remember in John 14 and 16, Jesus says that he will send the Holy Spirit who will guide us into all truth, teach us all things. This is where the love of the truth comes from. God does not come into our lives, kick in the door, and say, all right, the truth has arrived, let me make some changes, how about it? No, God's not like that. What is the picture that we have there in Revelation 3? Behold, I stand at the door, and he's very kind, and not only kind, but God is love, and he wants to give us a love of the truth. A love of the truth he will not force. He will offer an appeal persistently. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad that God is persistent? Not only to get our attention the first time, but when we give our hearts to Christ, does the experience and the walk with him end or even go into autopilot? I don't know about you, but Jesus has had to get my attention many times, I'd say on a daily basis, repeatedly. Not simply because I'm wandering off doing something foolish, but there's opportunities to learn more and more and to recognize what he has in mind for me to do on a given day in a given place around a certain person or a group of people. And so my ears need to be quick to hear what the Spirit says, or is trying to get my ears to hear. So those who refuse to receive a love of the truth that God is holding out to them, all that's left is the devil's lies. And we see a growing abundance of the devil's lies being thrown around, both in and out of the church in our day. Now, we hear much in these times about fake news. It's a popular topic. Satan is the originator of fake news. We find that in John 8:44, where Jesus boldly says, "Satan is the father of lies," which is what fake news is. Sin started based on fake news and continues to this day. Let's look in Ezekiel 28, verse 18. Ezekiel 28, verse 18. And there is an interesting term used, at least in the King James, called traffic. Speaking of Lucifer, who became Satan, "You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic." And I'll just stop right there. You have heard, perhaps, of the term drug trafficking. Trafficking is a term used not just for getting stuck in on the highway, but you're trafficking in something. And Satan trafficked in lies. And so his lies have been something he's worked with from the beginning to try to accomplish his goals. And in the lies he tells, he doesn't just tell them openly and plainly so we can understand them. He wraps them in truth so they're hard to discern. Otherwise, we'd readily identify them. And we need to be continually aware of what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 8:20, "If they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them." So if you find a mix of truth and error of any source, throw it out. There's no light in it. Yet shall we limit truth to a set of doctrines? No, that would be a creed. We hold the Bible only as our creed. Pilate asked Jesus rather scornfully, "What is truth?" And sadly, he didn't stay to hear Jesus' response. Nor did it occur to him, and it doesn't occur to many today, instead of asking, "What is truth?" instead ask, "Who is truth?" Let's turn to John 14:6, where we find the answer to that question. John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." So Jesus is the truth, and we learn of him through prayer and Bible study. You don't want to open your Bibles and try to figure it out on your own. You want to ask God to guide you. I have found myself on occasion, I'll open the Bible and I'll start reading, and that voice, remember in children's story, that voice that says, "You need to do this," well, that voice will tell me, "You haven't prayed, you haven't asked me." I'm like, "Oh, wow, how could I just open the Word of God? How brazen of me to open the Word and think that I could just gain something or understand something without consulting the author." But my shame does not last. Say, "Yes, Lord, thank you for reminding me that I need your help to understand your word." And I pray and dive back in. And the experience is sweet. For God says, taste and see that I am good. Now, how else, along with Bible study and prayer, do we come to know Jesus? We come to know him personally as he answers our prayers. Not because he says yes all the time. Sometimes he says no, and we scratch our head and go, why? And then later on, sometimes in this life, if we don't find out in this life, then it's in the life to come, we'll find out. Oh, that's why. That was a smart move. I didn't see it at the time, but now I see. We can trust God. Faith working by love motivates obedience. Can only work that way effectively. And answered prayers strengthen faith, strengthen my obedience, as daily surrender to Jesus enables him through the Holy Spirit to change my life, to change me into his image, to give me his character. Today's scripture, John 7:14-17, Jesus referenced, my doctrine is not mine, but him who sent me. And we learn a couple things from this. Number one, Jesus has doctrine. And we also learn that his doctrine is not original to him. He says, came from my Father. Well, that's good news, because we are instructed, and we'll see this a little bit later in Scripture, to be attentive to doctrine. And the doctrine is not ours. It comes from Jesus. It comes from Jesus, who through the Holy Spirit teaches us who Jesus is, what he's like, how he operates. How does he do things? What does he want in my life? As we behold Jesus through his doctrine, through his teachings, which he lived out while on earth, by beholding, we become changed. As it refers to in 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory. And it's interesting in the times in which we currently live, that scripture, let's turn there, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And it says, but we all, with open or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. Doesn't happen all at once. As we look to Christ, we grow, and he reveals more that we need to pick up and other things we need to lay down. And I particularly appreciate that unveiled face reference. So I don't know about you, but those masks, they are hindering, but they are necessary at this time. Now, especially relevant to us in our time is Jesus' counsel in Matthew 24. In verse 4, what is his first warning as his disciples say, tell us, when will these things be? What was the first concern that he had for them? Take heed that you are not deceived. How will you not be deceived? Knowing the truth. So Jesus is very concerned that we know the truth so that we do not suffer from deception. Now let's look there in Matthew 24, verse 5, to find out what the subject of the deception is. Matthew 24, verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So the topic is Jesus Christ. There is an attempt to deceive concerning him. What is a primary tool in this deception? For that answer, let's look in two verses, verse 11 of chapter 24. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. What do false prophets use to deceive? Sensory input, sensory events, signs and wonders, but also false doctrine, trying to get you to go a different direction than the truth, Jesus Christ, will have you go. So take heed that you be not deceived by these lies of Satan. The first temptation was doubt there in Eden, lies and deception, sensory also. Satan has been running a lie campaign from the beginning, and it continues to our day. Distract, discourage, deceive, and destroy. These are his tactics. A growing evangelism idea promotes Jesus only and dismisses doctrine as divisive and limiting, instead urging people just focus on Jesus and his life. Now, this sounds great. I wish I could love it, but I can't, because Jesus warns me, be not deceived. You can no more separate Jesus from doctrine than you can separate law and grace. The two are inextricably linked. Let's look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 through 16, to see what Paul counsels Timothy about doctrine. It's rather amazing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 13. Paul was writing to Timothy. He says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery," or the group of elders. "Meditate upon these things. Give yourself completely to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you shall both save yourself and them who hear you." Doctrine saves. That goes against the grain of a lot of what we've heard in the last, well, perhaps much of our lives. Yet, how? We need to understand how doctrine saves. Because is it simply believing right doctrine that will save us? The answer is no. And this is best illustrated by looking at the Protestant Reformation. It's recorded in Revelation 3, 1 through 4, in the message to the fifth church, the Church of Sardis. And several hundred years after the Reformation really got going forward, you had groups of people who started putting their standard in the ground and saying, "Here I stand, I will go no further than the one who started this movement, this denomination." Instead of saying, "This light was important and much truth came through this person, I will follow God and he will lead me forward into all truth we are promised." And Sardis, let's turn to Revelation 3, 1 through 4. Sardis is described in a way that portrays what happened in the Protestant Reformation prior to the Great Awakening. There was a digging in, a satisfaction with what was already gained. "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis," then God describes himself, and he says, "I know your works," there at the end of verse 1. "You have a name that you live and are dead." So it's a name claimed, but a dead life. "Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If you therefore shall not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon thee." So portrayed there is having doctrine, yet right doctrine did not save them. They were told, repent and hold fast to those things that you have. Full surrender was missing. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. That's movement forward, not digging in and standing by the standard and not moving forward. God wants to keep us moving forward, not standing still, not falling backward. As I behold the beauty of Jesus Christ in all Scripture, especially Calvary, it stirs within me a desire to follow, to be like Jesus Christ, to become a living sacrifice, as Paul describes in Romans 12. The doctrine I believe drives my picture, informs my picture of God, and motivates how I live, and especially impacts my relationship with Him and with those around me. So doctrine is very important, a means of how I get to know Jesus Christ. And it's not a static experience as He teaches me a certain group of truths, shall we call them? That's only the start. The growth continues and continues all my life as I gain a deeper and deeper picture of who God is through Jesus Christ. And this experience will not end at the second coming. We will continue to learn by God's grace more and more and more, even more than what's recorded in Scripture. For God says through the Apostle Paul, "Eyes have not seen nor ears heard the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." What a heritage we have to look forward to. Amen. What did Paul say to Timothy back in 1 Timothy 4:15? He said, "Give yourself completely to the doctrine." That's surrender. How many of you have read something in Scripture and it really grated you, just crossed your will? "Ooh, I don't like that." Kind of just gave you a jolt, or you felt resistance to it. Maybe none of you have. I have multiple times. But as I look to Christ and I see how He gave Himself for me, was He eager to go to Calvary? Luke, who was very medically in tune, gave us a vivid picture of how resistant the nature of Christ was to going to Calvary. It was such a battle within Him to live, "Not my will, but thine be done," that His body practically fell apart. He started bleeding out through the pores, which has been noted a few times since, and medical science readily assents and proclaims that this is a reality and it happens under great stress. And when I see this is what Jesus did, willing to give Himself for me, for you, who am I that I'm going to resist what Scripture says? He wants me to give myself to Him, and He even gives me the power to do it, because I can't do it in and of myself. Jesus instructs us. He's our example, and He says, "Go teach the world all things whatsoever I've commanded you." And the entire Bible is the testimony of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. Friends, this is why God raised up the movement of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, to teach the everlasting gospel from Genesis to Revelation, so that we may know the truth and share it with others. Not that we know everything there is to know about the truth, but as we taste and see that the Lord is good, we want to share the good food with those around us. That's why God raises up ministries as tools to help in sharing the everlasting gospel as found in the three angels' messages. That's why God has raised up Strong Tower Radio, and lives are being changed. Spoke with a caller recently in mid-Michigan. Let me share with you a couple things that he told me. He says, I'm learning something new every day from the minister's message on Strong Tower Radio. The health programs, all answering questions that I've had. Strong Tower has been a real help and a comfort to me since I began listening. And I'm praying now, asking God if he'd have me become a Seventh-day Adventist. God is working not only directly through you and I, but ministry that we support. We can be an extension. Our ministry personally can be extended through the broadcast of Strong Tower Radio. A recent testimony from a couple in North Central Michigan. God has been giving, this is an email I'll read to you to be sure you get the whole gist of it. God has been giving my husband and I divine appointments. This is one of them. A delivery man stopped by. I gave him a science tract. Then he, my husband, and I spent the next hour talking about the Bible and what is happening in our world today. He can see the signs of the end, for he knows that never before in history have all the countries in the world worked in unity as they have with this lockdown. To him and to us, this is a clear sign that the common good has been accepted globally. But this is not good in God's eyes. We also gave him the great controversy, and he asked us about hell and how to keep the Sabbath. He's been listening to Strong Tower Radio, which he says preaches the word of God and not just music like most of the other Christian stations. And he's been already read Doug Batchelor's story. He asked us for our contact information and plans to keep in touch with us. The Holy Spirit is strongly moving on his heart. We prayed with him. He's a young adult, hungry for the truth. He and his family have Bible studies every day. Please pray for him because he works currently from Monday through Sabbath each week. Those are just a couple examples of God working both through individuals and through Strong Tower Radio, working together to help people know the truth, as well as to know the truth better ourselves, because if we will have the character of Jesus, we will do his work. By beholding, we become changed. Now, God could support Strong Tower Radio directly from heaven, but he chooses to work through human agents to grow them into his likeness. To those who are individually supporting Strong Tower Radio now, thank you for your prayers and your financial support. It is such a blessing and continues to bless many. To those of you who are still considering supporting Strong Tower Radio, I encourage you to embrace that opportunity to increase the joy that you have exponentially of reaching people for Jesus Christ 24/7. As the Holy Spirit impresses you, if you would join me in monthly support of Strong Tower Radio, I also would appeal to you, most importantly, to know the truth. This is more than simply the doctrines. This is knowing a person, Jesus Christ. And as we understand his teachings better, we will have a clearer and clearer picture of who he is. And who he is will increasingly be to us the fairest of 10,000, beautiful in every way. May God abundantly bless you, as not just abundantly, but continue and more abundantly bless you as you seek him and find that his promises are true.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.